Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to those watching with us today. I am here for the grand finale, at least for now. You never know, sometimes we always add another part. But on the great series we've been doing on the Word of Yahweh, part 4, the Word of Life. We've been going over how powerful, how real, how incredible, and how living the Word of Yahweh truly is. And it shows His supreme being and His character, and His Word proves His existence as creator of everything. So, I don't know about you, but I know going through this and putting this together, it just makes me more in awe of Yahweh as I'm looking at every letter of that Bible, every letter of the original manuscripts, and how living and powerful they are, and how in so many different ways, whether it's Yahweh telling us things that before, you know, was ever known to man and to science, or whether it's the codes that Yahweh put in there, or the DNA that we see in Scripture, or the amazing way that Yahweh put all the books in the perfect order they did. And last week going over the Psalms and the Megillot, which was really, really neat. And I hope the ladies appreciate that Yahweh even put a woman's Torah in the Bible for the woman's benefit. So let's start today in Isaiah 55 in verse 11. It says, "So shall my word be, which goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in what I send it to do." So in the message today, I want to show how the word of Yahweh is real. It's living. It's not words on a book, you know, words on paper, but it's living. It's real. And it's as soon as Yahweh says it, it accomplishes exactly what Yahweh states. So I heard one time that Yahweh is in 7 dimensions. You know, Yahweh works. We talk about 1-dimensional, 2-dimensional, 3-dimensional. Sometimes you see 3-dimensional movies where you put on the glasses and it makes it look like they're flying. But Yahweh's in 7 dimensions, some that we don't even know. And maybe it's even more than that. But the Bible is like that. The Bible is not 2-dimensional or 3-dimensional. The Bible is so many dimensions, and some that we would have never even have thought of, right? Before the time of the computer, who would have ever thought of Bible codes? And like I said, the amazing part that right in the text is underlined in the code, what the text is saying and explaining it even more than that. So this is really what our message is today, though, on showing how living the word of Yahweh really is. So let's go to the book of Genesis. Genesis 1, starting in verse 1. Bereshit, bara Elohim, right? Elohim in the beginning. Elohim created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And boy, just that one sentence is a mouthful, right? "And the earth being without form and empty and darkness on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Elohim moving gently on the face of the waters," right? His power. "Then Elohim said, let there be light. And there was light. And Elohim saw the light that it was good, and Elohim separated between the light and the darkness. And Elohim called the light day, and he called the darkness night, and there was evening, and there was morning, day one." So, wow, right? Elohim speaks, and there it is. "Let there be light, and there was light." So, even though we know the time comes from day 4, the sun, the moon, and the stars, right? The rotation of them is how we create days and months and years. But here it is, light itself. You know, light. Elohim says, "Let there be light," and there's light. Just by his voice, just by his speaking, his word is living. And that's the point of it. As he's speaking that word, as he's breathing it, right? Like the word for spirit, ruach. It's like the breath is coming out, and it's living. Every word of Scripture is living because every word of Scripture is a part of Yahweh's character. Then we get to Genesis 2 and verse 7. Genesis 2 and verse 7. "And Yahweh Elohim formed the man from the dust of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul." Like we were saying in the first time, you know, that the elements that are in dirt are the same basic elements that are in man, right? Why? Because Elohim formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he blew into his nostrils the breath of life. So here it is, you know, it's like maybe as a kid you made a snowman when it snowed, right? And you build it up. But think of not a snowman, think of out of dirt. You know, I don't know if anyone's ever done this, made like a being out of dirt. But you could do it if you get enough dirt and you pile it up and you shape it into the form of a man. But it's still just a pile of dirt. And then Elohim just breathes. He breathes life because he is life. You know, he always was and he always will be. I like to say it, it's like a circle, right? Because people say, how could Elohim, who created Elohim? Well, no, because we're thinking in the realm of time. And in time, time is a line. Time is not finite. Time is finite. It's not infinite. It's a timeline. So here's the line, here's the line. But Yahweh works in eternity, right? Like a circle. There's no beginning, no end. It just keeps going around and around and around. The patterns are the same. So what Yahweh did was he put this 7,000 year plan as a piece of eternity. So our minds are thinking in time. He's thinking of eternity. That's what Yahweh is. You know, he thinks of eternity. But here it is. All he has to do is breathe. And dirt becomes a human being, right? Like we said, with trillions of cells and, you know, the way that the cells work and the configurations that they are and how everything works together perfectly, you know, with that and the, you know, the thousands of miles of arteries and veins that you have in your body. And there's no way that can just all happen by chance. So Elohim breathes on dirt. And dirt becomes life. Dirt becomes what we are because he is life. But what happens? Then the very next chapter, you know, mankind, who is just created by Elohim, doubts Elohim. He doubts Yahweh. He doubts his word and shows lack of faith. And here we are today, right? So this is what it's all about. This is what the whole Bible is about and showing us, you know, that the creation alone is for enough for us to never doubt Yahweh. And his word is living, right? It's not like people look at the Bible. The Bible is the most sold book ever in the history of human beings and the less read, right? Everybody has one. Sometimes it's laying on top of a refrigerator or it's laying in a shelf somewhere. But that's not what Yahweh had his word for. And we have to cherish this word because it's a word of life. It's a word that Yahweh gives. And as he creates, as creation is coming and he just speaks and creation is there. Hebrews 11:1-3. Hebrews 11:1-3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it was the substance of things that have come to pass. And the evidence of things not having been seen. It's not blind. It's evidence. Right? As we look up in the stars and we see the sun and the moon and the galaxies and the planets, right? We could see that the fact that they are there means that somebody had to create them. They didn't come out of nothing. For by this, and the substance of things having come to pass, and evidence of things not having been seen. So the fact that we have the evidence of what already happened, then we know what he says will happen, because every single thing he said already has happened. You know, so a person that can actually just say, let there be light, and there's light, I certainly will believe that anything he says will happen. And that's all faith is. It's simply believing the word of Yahweh, which is the word of life. By faith, for by this the elders obtained witness, right? By believing, simply believing. By faith we understand the ages to have been framed by the word of Yahweh. The ages were framed by the word of Yahweh. What were we saying? In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, right? By faith, we understand the ages to have been framed by the word of Yahweh, so that the things seen should not come out into being out of things that already appear. Yahweh didn't take something that was already there and twist it and turn it and make it into a galaxy and planets. No, Yahweh simply spoke. He simply spoke the living word, right? And out of that came stars and planets and galaxies and universes and black holes and things. And like they said, that the universe is expanding, right? For 6,000 years since creation, it's been expanding and expanding because that's what Yahweh does. Yahweh is a life giver and it keeps going. And it was all created simply by the word of Yahweh. Simply by his word, simply by speaking it into existence. And we simply have to believe what we already can see to believe what will be. Right? Like we talked about, he named King Cyrus 200 years before he's born and said exactly what he would do. How would he know 200 years before that there wouldn't be a temple at that point? That Cyrus would have to be the one, the king of Persia, to allow the Jews to go back and rebuild the temple. Because Yahweh knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. So that's, we simply have to believe that what we already can see to believe what will be. And when you're looking at this, right, it's unbelievable to think how powerful his word is. And I think, I know the world takes his word for granted. They actually, the UN calls it hate speech, right? But as believers, I think we're also taking his word for granted. We're not cherishing having that word and what that word means. And man, we should be in that word every day of our life and as much as we can. Of course, we're human beings. We have to work. We have to do laundry. We have to cut the lawn. We have to do other things. But we should be so excited to be in that word every day. The word should never be a burden to us to have the word of Yahweh. And whether it's having it in a book that we can read or having it in a CD when you go in the car or whatever it could be, we should be just thanking Yahweh up and down every day of our life that he's given us his word for this. So now let's go to the book of John. John 1:1. And let's see something really, really amazing about the word of Yahweh. In the beginning was the word. And what is John doing? He's writing and he's paralleling what we just read in Genesis 1:1. So he's paralleling the same thing. Bereshit, in the beginning. In the beginning, but in the beginning, he's saying now, he's going before Genesis 1:1. You know, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with Elohim. And the word was Elohim. So it's interesting when you look at the syntax of the writing of here and also in 1 John. Literally, by the verb form, it doesn't mean that the word came into existence, but the word was. It wasn't created, it just was, the same way that Yahweh just was. So in the beginning was the word, and the word was with Elohim, and the word was with Elohim. He was in the beginning with Elohim, right? He was. Everything existed through his hands, and without him, not even one thing existed of the things which have existed, right? The Father gave it the command, and the Son spoke it into existence. So now we're starting to find out more, because verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, glory of an only begotten one from the Father, full of grace and truth. So now the Word even becomes more important, because beside being maybe seven-dimensional and whatever else it is, now we're finding out that the human being that we know as Yeshua Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, the human being that lived on this earth, the human being that spoke about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the human being that suffered and was beaten and humiliated and died for our sins, he is the living word of Yahweh. Talk about the word being a word of life, right? That he literally is the word. What does he mean by that? That means that as a human being, he personified every single thing of scripture, because the word of Yahweh is Yahweh's character. It's who Yahweh is. But how can we understand that? No man has ever seen Yahweh at any time. How could we understand what spirit is? How can we understand what Yahweh is? By the few instances we see maybe in the Tanakh of Yahweh's interaction with people, but the way that we understand who Yahweh is through the word, through Yeshua, his son. Because like I said, the Father gave the command, but the Son spoke it into existence. The Son spoke it because the Son is that word. So now when you think about that, right? If you think about that, Yeshua is the literal word of Yahweh, the living word of Yahweh, it is blasphemy to say that the law is done away with, because the law is the word. When they're saying the law, they're talking about the whole Old Testament. The Old Testament, which is called the Tanakh. It's not the Old Testament. It's the Tanakh. We went over this before. The Torah, the prophets, and the writings, right? It's an acronym. But what they're saying is then that Yeshua is done away with, because he is the living word. So it is blasphemous. It is absolutely evil and blasphemous. And it is about the worst thing that a human being can do. So the Christians that are saying the law is nailed to the cross, they're no better than the UN people saying that the Bible is hate speech. It's the same thing. They're both trying to do away with the living word of Yahweh, the word of life, right? And that word becomes flesh. Revelation 19 and verse 11. It says it here again. Revelation 19 and verse 11. And I saw heaven being opened, and behold, a white horse, and him sitting on it, having been called faithful and true, and he judges and makes war in righteousness. Who is this? Who's coming on the white horse now? Yeshua. Yeshua is coming on the white horse. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, just like we see in Revelation 1. And on his head were many crowns and many titles written on him. And one of the titles that had been written, no man knew but him himself. And having been clothed in a garment which was dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yahweh. That's what his name is. He is the living personified word. And that's why, like I said, this book, you could read it a million times and you will never, ever, ever get full with it. Because it fills your soul. It gives you joy to your soul. It completes you as a human being. It makes you who you are. The book of Yahweh, the word of Yahweh, is this instruction book for life. So it's more than just, wow, that was a neat fact. You know, wow, that's pretty neat that this is here. Well, it's pretty neat that Job knew about gravity. No, they're not just neat facts. It's the word of life. It literally is the word of life, and it's the instruction book of life. And this is what our whole life is. And this is why Yahweh has preserved this book for 3,500 years. You know, from the time of starting to give it to Moses, and because at that point, they didn't even have anything written down from creation or Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or anything else. So he gives us all these things because it's the instruction book for life. And if this isn't your life, then you have no life. Because everything else, like we see in Scripture, will burn away. Everything is going to go, right? All of the nonsense that we follow every day of our life is all going to be gone. But this word will last forever. And we have to make the word the way that Yahweh makes the word. Colossians 1 and verse 15. Colossians 1 and verse 15 says, talking about Yeshua, who is the image of the invisible Elohim, the right of the firstborn of all creation. He is the image of the invisible Elohim. How? Because he is the personified word. Like I said, we talked about this before. This is not just words on paper. This is the actual character of Yahweh. Everything that we see, every doctrine, every law, everything he says, the history, everything is the personification of who Yahweh is. And then Yeshua comes, and Yeshua is the exact representation of the Father and the image of the invisible Elohim. So now we can only understand the Father, because we don't understand it any way else unless you know the word of Yahweh, the Son. Because the Son has put it into human form that we can understand. Because he came as a human. Yeshua is not a human being. He put his divinity to the side and he came in the form of a human being, as we'll see here in a couple of minutes. Philippians 2 in verse 5. For think this within yourself, which mind was also in Messiah Yeshua, right? Because it's the mind that thinks. It's the mind that creates. It's the mind that puts action, the thought comes before the action, who existed in the very form of Elohim, thought it not robbery to be the equal with Elohim. But he emptied himself, taking the image of a servant, having become in the image of the sons of man. Wow. So now, that's why he's the son of Elohim and the son of man, the son of Adam. Because in one sense, he's a human being, 100%. He's born of a woman, right? Looks like you and me, as far as how we look. He's human. If he cut his finger, he would bleed. Right? He got sick, as we see it says in Isaiah 53, and yet at the same rate, he's got the eternal spirit in him because he always existed as the Word. So now we don't have to read the Word and say, I wonder what Yahweh meant by that. You know, let's read the Torah, go to Deuteronomy this, and I wonder what he meant by that. You know how we know what he meant by it? Because Yeshua told us. The Torah says, you shall not murder. I say, if you get angry with your brother, you murdered him in your heart. The Torah says, you shall not commit adultery. I say, if you even think lust. He's the living Word. He personified it for us so that we could know exactly what this work of Yahweh means. And then Yahweh gives us the same spirit in us that's in him. So now we can have the mind of Messiah. We can think like him. We can have the same purpose as him, the same thoughts as him. And this is what the living Word is. This should be our life. Everything about this should be our life. Hebrews 1, 2, and 3. Hebrews chapter 1, 2, and 3. Look what it says. In these last days he has spoken to us in the Son, the Word, whom he appointed heir of all and by whom he made the worlds. For he is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his being, right? Yeshua is the express image of the being of Yahweh. And upholding all things by the power of his Word. Upholding all things by the power of his Word. Having made purification of our sins through himself, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Right? Sitting on the big throne in heaven is Yahweh the Father. And sitting on his right, because he's the right hand of Yahweh, he's the power of Yahweh, he's the might of Yahweh, is his Son, the Word of Yahweh, Yeshua himself. So, you know, we don't need to prove Yahweh's existence to anybody. I've talked to a lot of atheists through my time. And when I'm talking to an atheist, I'm never trying to prove to him. Because it is degrading that a human being is going to try to prove Yahweh's existence. Come on, that's a joke. I just tell them how stupid they are. That they think everything came from nothing. I try to prove Yahweh's existence because he is. Because that's what truth is. And if they want to accept it, they can. If they don't, they don't. Because it's degrading to try to have to prove the word of Yahweh. Because you know what? In mankind's evil human nature, right? Like it says in Romans 8, that the carnal mind is hatred toward the word of Yahweh. It's hatred toward. What does that mean? That means it's hatred toward Yeshua. That means it's hatred toward Yahweh's character. They don't want to know it. It doesn't matter whether it's true. It doesn't matter if it's provable. Because it's provable. We have creation. It is definitely provable. And there's creationists out there, you know, like Dr. Ham and Dr. Bao and many of them that I'm not a professor, I'm not a scientist. You know, my mind is very, very simple. And I could tell simple ways that we can know the Bible is true and creation is true and the earth is not that old. But these people, they know all the scientific proof of it. And you know what? The people still don't believe. It doesn't matter because they don't want to believe. Because they don't want to believe in the word of life. They don't want to believe. It's there. You know, it's not that we know anything they don't know. It's just that you have to humble yourself. You have to humble yourself. You have to repent of your sins. You have to admit to Yahweh that you're not smart and you're not good and you're not a good person. And unless you do that, you'll never have a spirit living in you and working in you. Let's go to John 14. John 14. Because you know what? The word of Yahweh is the key to everything. It is the key to life. And it is amazing how much, and like I said, I'm 36 years in this. You would think by now I'd know everything of this word. I've read it back and forth and up and down 100 different times in different languages. And yet every single day I open this Bible, I learn something new. Every single day. That's what's exciting about it. And there's times where the Holy Spirit is actually, I say it's like the Uman and the Thurman. As I'm starting to read, the Holy Spirit will be glowing words and glowing things and flipping pages. You know, my sermons aren't coming from going online and you know, looking something up online. My sermons are coming from the Holy Spirit. And even this, Yahweh just opened my mind to this in the last month, studying this and looking at it and saying, wow, this is unbelievable. But that's what the word of Yahweh is. Just like the universe is expanding, his word expands always. And our understanding of it. So John 14, verse 10. Says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words which I speak to you, I do not speak for myself, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the work, right? The Father gave the command and Yeshua spoke it. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, but if not, believe me because of the works themselves, right? Wow. You know, when Yeshua was on the earth, they couldn't deny what he did. I mean, he healed crippled, he healed blind people, he healed deaf people, and he raised the dead. Get that one, right? So you could say whatever you want. Oh, well, you know, he healed the blind person. It was an accident. It was a miracle. It was magic. You could say whatever you want to it. But nobody can raise the dead but Yahweh. Nobody. Somebody that's dead for 4 days and all he does is call him, the word Lazarus, come forth. And he comes hopping out and he's alive after 4 days. Nobody could do that but Yahweh. And that's why even the Jews, even in their books, where they mock and they curse Yeshua, they call him all kinds of things, but they admit that he did these things. They admit it. They admit it that he raised the dead and he healed the sick and he healed the leper. They admit it. So shame on them for not believing. Because like he says, if you don't believe him, believe him for the work's sake. But the words which I speak to you, I do not speak for myself, but the Father who dwells in me. And how great, without Yeshua here, without Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, without, we would not understand what the living word is. And even with the Holy Spirit in us, it would be, you know, moving us towards something that we wouldn't know. But now we have his living example in our life. And that's why, like I said, I read it just like Yahweh works in the circular. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Every day, all the way around the year, I just keep reading. Done with one, go to the next. Done with one, go to the next. And it never gets stale. It never gets stale. I always see something new. And there are four books that are very, very different. You know, like I said, the four faces of Messiah. They come from different angles. They give different stories. They show different things. You know, Matthew showing him as the Lion of Judah. Mark showing him as the strength, the ox, right? Luke showing him as the Son of Man. Savior of the world, and John, the spiritual gospel, the eagle soaring up to heaven with things in there. But it's awesome. Verse 28 here, John 14. You heard what I said to you. I am going away and I am coming again to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced that I said I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Yeshua is not the Father. They're not the same being. The Father is greater than I. The Father is the CEO. Yeshua is the blue-collared worker. The Father gave the command, Yeshua went out and said it, and he created it. Go down to verse 12, same chapter. Indeed, I tell you truly, the one believing into me, the works which I do, that one shall do also, and greater than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you may ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, right? Because the commandments are part of his character. That's who he is. He is the word of Yahweh, and it's his character. And I will petition the Father, and he will give you another one, which will end the curse, that he may remain with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see it nor know it. But you know it, for it dwells with you and shall be in you, right? Once you're baptized, the Spirit of truth. We're made in the image of Elohim, and can be like him through the Ruach, opening up our mind to his word. So you will never ever, you could be the nicest person in the world. And believe me, I was born into Catholicism. Wasn't my choice, so I was born into there. But I can tell you something. There is a lot of nice Catholic people. A lot of nice nuns, a lot of nice priests, a lot of nice Catholic people. But they will never ever ever be a cod with Yahweh if they don't follow his word. It's impossible. And that's why he's made us in his image. And now with Yeshua living in us, we need to be that living word. That is our greatest example that we should be saying to people. If you don't believe me for the work's sake. You know, believe me for the work's sake. And I praise Yahweh that he's blessed me that through his Holy Spirit, I've been able to lay hands on people and they've been healed of all kinds of different diseases, you know, and we've seen the blind get sight and we've seen the deaf get hearing again. But physically, that's great. But really what he's done in our congregation is he's giving those that have eyes, really eyes to see. And those that are spiritually deaf, he's giving them ears to see. And that's the miracle that's happening, because we're living in the restoration of all things. And through this ministry, praise Yahweh, he's restoring all things. Just like I said with this Hebraic Roots Bible, you know, that Yahweh put it together a certain way, and I didn't do it. Yahweh put it together. I'm just trying to keep it the way that he put it together, the way that he did it. 1 Corinthians 5:3 says, "For being absent in body, but being present in spirit, I've already judged the one who has worked this thing out as if I were present." What is it going to be? An absent in body, but present in spirit? Because since there's one spirit, right? And there's one word of Yahweh, the word of Yahweh. And that since Yeshua is living in us, that this is why, how powerful it is that if we are unconditionally following this word, if we're surrendering our human nature and what we want, and that's the Laodicean. The Laodicean has all their opinions, how they look at it, what they want. I'll never follow a man. But wow, you will never, ever, ever be caught with Yahweh. The way to be caught is surrendering that human nature, surrendering me, and allowing Yeshua and the Holy Spirit to work. And then we could be absent in the body, but there in the spirit, right? We have prayers online. And when somebody puts a prayer request online, we can literally be going in our prayer closet and praying, and we can be with that person. We could be comforting them, you know, somebody maybe that died, right? And you could have that hand right on that person's shoulder and be touching them while you're in your prayer closet, because you're touching them in spirit, in the same spirit that you have that's yearning out. And I've had this happen. I say it many times when I've prayed for people for healing, that temporarily the thing that they had, maybe they had a bad leg, and my leg will be hurting for a day or two. You know, it's like when Jacob was wrestling with Yeshua in Genesis 32, remember? And he knocked his hip socket out, and then the hip socket was like that for the rest of his life. But it's the same way that we can intervene with people through the word, because that's the way we're unified. If it's not through the word, what else can we be unified? That's why when people say, you know, well, forget doctrine, let's just be unified to be unified. Wait, what on earth does that mean? There's no unity without the word. There's no unity without doctrine, because the doctrine is the word. It's the word of Yahweh. It's the word of Yeshua. It is Yeshua. It's what he gave to the apostles, who gave it to others, and now we have it here. And it's never been lost in 2,000 years. And this is the word that changes our life. And the doctrine is a big part of it, because that's his word. Back in John 14, verse 23. John 14 and verse 23. Yeshua answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father shall love him. And we will come to him and we'll make a dwelling place with him. The one who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but of the Father who sent me," right? One spirit. The word of the Father, it's his character, and he's instilled that character in the Son, and the Son is instilling it in us. "I've spoken these things to you, abiding you, but the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, will teach you everything, and it will remind you of everything that I said to you." Right? There's one spirit, there's one life. In his word that makes us one with him through the Holy Spirit in thought, in mind, and purpose. In thought, in mind, and purpose. And then remember the parable of the sower and the seed, right? What is the seed? Luke 8:11. Luke 8:11. And this is the parable. The seed is the word of Yahweh. The seed is the word of Yahweh. So if you want fruit and you can't get in the kingdom without fruit, then you have to plant the seed, and the seed is the word of Yahweh. You don't bring your own words. You don't bring your own way. You don't bring your own purpose. You have to surrender all that, and you bring the seed, the word of Yahweh. The word of Yahweh is the foundation where our whole belief system should come from, right? The word of Yahweh is our foundation, where a whole belief system should come from. To reject the word is to reject him. To reject his words is to reject him. So when people say, "I'll never follow a man," what are they rejecting? They're rejecting the word of Yahweh. They're rejecting the doctrine of Yahweh. They're rejecting the elders of Yahweh. And they're rejecting the word of Yahweh. It's just like the Garden of Eden. It's a choice that every one of us has to make. Do we follow our own free will, which is corrupted, what Adam and Eve did, and follow the devil? Or do we unconditionally surrender that free will to Yahweh and then follow Yahweh in all things? No seed, no fruit. And the seed is the word of Yahweh. And without fruit, you're not going to be in his kingdom. So the first thing we have to do is we have to plant the word of Yahweh. The Bible is not just a book of words, but the Bible is the word. It's not just a book of words, but it is the word. It reveals the plan of salvation for mankind to become like Yahweh in character, to become his children. The Bible is a very blueprint for salvation. And like I said, in many, many different dimensions. Yeshua came in the flesh as the second Adam to be the living word and to magnify the Torah for us to understand the purpose and character of Yahweh and to be made an example to us in all things. Hebrews 2 and verse 11, right? And that's why Yeshua came in the flesh. Because he had to set the example as the living word so that it wouldn't be misinterpreted. That we would see by his actions exactly what Yahweh meant. Hebrews 2 and verse 11. For both the one sanctifying and the one being sanctified are all of one nature. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will announce your name to my brethren. I will praise you in the midst of the congregation. And again, I will be trusting on him. And again, behold, I and the children whom Yahweh gave to me. Since then, the children have partaken of flesh and blood. In like manner, he himself also shared the same things, that through death he might cause to cease the one having the power of death, that is the devil, and might release them who through fear of death are all their lives subject to bondage. For he did not take on the likeness of cherubs, but he takes on the seed of Abraham. Wherefore it is right that he should in every manner resemble his brethren, and that he might be merciful and a high priest faithful in all things of Elohim, and might make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For since he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help others who are tempted. So that's the reason why he came in the flesh, to understand exactly what we're going through, and that to every answer in our life is the word of Yahweh. To every answer in our life is something in the word. And you know, it's really interesting because when people are discouraged, usually the first thing they do is stop praying and stop reading their Bible. And that's the time you need it the most. That's when Satan has you, when you're the most vulnerable. Because once you take Yahweh's word away and once you stop praying, what are you left with? You're left with Satan. You're left with Satan because Satan will try to possess you. Yahweh guidely, gently, and leads you, but Satan is a possessor. And that's the time you need that word the most. That's the time you have to go to that word. It's the blueprint for salvation. Romans 10 and verse 14. Romans 10 and verse 14. How then may they call on one into whom they have not believed, right? So like to the world, how are they going to call on someone they haven't believed? And how may they believe on one whom they have not heard? And how may they hear without a preacher? And how may they preach if they are not sent? Even as it has been written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, of those preaching good things. We need to plant seeds, and the seed is the word of Yahweh. So of course, this is talking about generally the ministry, right? The evangelist, the minister is going out. But every single one of us, every single person that has the Spirit of Yahweh in them has the responsibility to plant seeds and bear fruit. And unless you go out, how can you do it? How beautiful the feet of those preaching the good news of peace and those preaching good things. But not all obeyed the good news. For Isaiah says, Yahweh, who has believed our report? Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Elohim. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Elohim. That's why I said, it's just ironic that when people, when something happens, maybe it could be a death, it could be a loss of a job, it could be anything that happens to someone to get doubt in their life or struggle in faith, and the first thing they do is stop reading their Bible, stop praying. And that's when you need it more, because faith comes through hearing, right? We are creatures of habit. There's no doubt about that. We're creatures of habit, and whatever you focus on, that becomes most real to you. And that's why people stop reading their Bible, because they're focused on the rent payment that they can't pay. Or they're focused on the sick person that they have relative, or the dead relative that died. When our focus needs to be on the Word, because the Word is the first thing in our life. The Word is the foundation of everything. The Word is the tree of life. And that's why we always have to keep that focus on the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of Elohim. Because the minute you stop focusing on the Word, the minute your faith starts going south in the other direction. That's got to be our life. Because Yeshua is the living Word. He was tempted in all things, but He overcame for us. And we have to bring this Word to others. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of Yahweh. We must cherish the Word every single day of our life, as the Word is our life, and it gives us eternal life. We must consume it daily, internalize it, and allow the Ruach to make us one with Him through it. And if it ever becomes stale to you, well, then I can only pity somebody that says that. Because like I said, that Word is living and it's alive. And it's like, I know there's sometimes when we're listening to the Scripture in the car, and even though I've heard it like maybe 50 times, it's almost like hearing it for the first time. It's like you're hearing that and you're getting something new. And it is. It's the Word of life. You have to consume it, internalize it. John 17, verse 6 and 7. John 17, and verse 6 and 7. He says, I revealed your name to the men whom you gave to me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. They have kept your word. Now they have known that everything that you have given to me, I've given to them, and they received them. Let's drop down to verse 13. And now I come to you, and I speak these things in the world, that they may have my joy being fulfilled in them. I have given them your word. And the world hated them because they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. And you know, in the Olivet Prophecy, Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, the very first thing that Yeshua warns the people against is deception. And come on, if anyone is honest with himself, we have never lived in a world with the kind of deception that you see today. And it's every single day through the internet and social media and these other things, people are just being indoctrinated more and more and more and more and more with falsehoods. And the truth is Yahweh. That is the truth. And that's what we should be focusing on. Not conspiracy theories, you know, like I said. Because once you start in these conspiracy theories, they go off and off and off and off and off. And it's amazing to me to see people, even newscasters, you know, some of them, that at this point, even the President of the United States, trying to say that the COVID-19 is a hoax. You know, you could say how whether it was planted, whether it was started, whether it was, you could say a lot of things about it. But how can you say something is a hoax when you have, you know, 13, 14 million people that are infected with it? In America alone, 60, 70,000 people every single day. 1,000 people dying every single day. How could that be a hoax? Are the coffins empty? But this is what I say. The word is truth. We have to stick to the word. Don't get caught up on all this conspiracy stuff. Because that's Satan's world. That's where Satan is taking you. Only by the pure word of truth can we avoid this. That's it. And again, you know, if you start having these doubts, if you're a goat that keeps going to the edge of the fence, it's going to get you sooner or later. It will. John 5 and verse 24. John 5 and verse 24. Says, truly, truly, I say to you, the one who hears my word and believes the one who has sent me has everlasting life and does not come into judgment, but has removed himself out of death into life. Right? So we can't have doubt. We can never, ever doubt Because that is the only thing you can count on 100% is the word of Yahweh. That has got to be internalized. And like I said, some people tell me sometimes, oh, I don't have a good memory. I can't memorize. Don't worry about it. Just keep reading it. Just keep reading it. Because the Holy Spirit has a perfect memory. Yahweh has a perfect memory. And even though you might not think you're remembering it, you are. Because even Scripture says, right? Matthew 10. When you come before kings and leaders, don't think about what you'll say before, and the Holy Spirit will put the words in your mouth. Think of your mind as a computer. And every time you're reading your Bible, you're programming those words in your mind. So even though you may think you can't remember it, when the time comes and you need it, Yahweh can bring it back. And that time might be in a prison cell somewhere. And then you're going to wish that you had read your Bible, because you won't have a Bible in that prison cell. But you'll have what's in your mind. You'll have that. And that's the decision you're going to have to make. Is it going to be filled with conspiracy theories and all kinds of falsehoods or other nonsense? Or is it going to be filled with the word of Yahweh? It's that simple. John 8 and verse 31. Then Yeshua said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's the truth that frees us. And in a world of falsehoods today, and a world where there's every fake conspiracy theory, where no matter what happens, they're going to make it into a conspiracy theory, that you don't know what to believe, you know what to believe because you believe in the word. And it's the word of Yahweh, that's what's going to get us through. And it's the prophecies that Yahweh put there that we believe in, not in man. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it all starting to come to pass. Let's go to Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Because you know what? The Apostle Paul told us about putting on the armor of Yahweh. And everything dealing with the armor is dealing with his word. That's what it has to deal with. It has to deal with his words. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. He says, for the rest, my brothers, be made powerful in our master and in the might of his strength. Put on all the armor of Yahweh for you to be able to stand against the strategies of the devil. So don't just think the devil is out there, and if you come by his way, you know, he's going to try to swat you. No, the devil has strategies, and he's smart. You know, he was an arch cherub. You know, he guarded the Ark of the Covenant. Don't think you're smarter than he is, or you made your first mistake. The devil is way smarter than we are, and he has strategies against us. And look at verse 12. For our conflict is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and with those in authority and with the possessors of this dark world and with the evil spirits that are beneath heaven. And here it is, right? It says in the end time, Revelation 18:2, Babylon has become the home of every foul spirit and every demon. And it's not just in Babylon, but they're in the world today. Just like in Genesis 6. When these evil spirits were around in the world, you know, and tempting the people, we see the same thing. So even though you may think it's your boss at work that you're having your problem with, or you may think it's, your neighbor next door, or you may think it's an evil guy down the block, you could think whatever it is. But our conflict is with spirits. It's not with flesh and blood, but it's with the dark world and the evil spirits of Satan. Because of this, take up the whole arm of Elohim that you may be able to resist the evil one, and being prepared you shall prevail. So if you're living in the world every day and you're working in the world and your friends are in the world and you're stuck on social media and you're filled with the internet day and night, you're not putting on the armor of Yahweh. What you're doing is it's like you're going unarmed into enemy territory. What do you think's going to happen? What do you think? You know, there's a lot of people in the congregation that I counsel with, and people that have problems over and over and over. Sometimes it's substance abuse, you know, that they can't overcome. Sometimes it's things like pornography. And when I'm counseling with them and asking them, well, why are you doing this? Why are you putting yourself in putting temptation before you? They don't have an answer. And it's the same way here. Whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And if you're putting this before you, instead of putting on the armor of Yahweh, it's not just an analogy. It's what the word says here, as we'll see here. And his word is what it becomes. He says, because of this, take up the whole armor of Elohim that you may be able to resist the evil one. Being prepared, you shall prevail. Then stand firm, having girded your loins with truth, like we just said. The truth will set you free. Stop believing in all this nonsense. Stop going to these websites, reading this garbage that isn't true. And there's people that are addicted to it. Like I said, there's people addicted to drugs, to alcohol, to pornography. But there's other people addicted to spiritual pornography. And that's what I call it. Because it's so phony. And I'll tell you, you know, in my position, I get people all the time writing me. And a lot of times they're new people. And they'll say, oh, we've been watching your website for a year. We're listening to your sermons. What do you think of this guy? And they'll give me something. And it's some nut job, you know, that has all these weird, crazy theories. And it's like, after 5 minutes, like, I don't even want to read this stuff. You know, I don't want to read this nonsense of what these people believe. And they always have the wrong name. Praise Yahweh. He doesn't allow them to have his name. They use Yahuwah or something else. And right off the bat, somebody is using that wrong name. Why on earth would you want to follow anything else they have to say? When Yahweh has revealed his name in the end time, we know his name. We know his name is Yahweh. We know the Son's name is Yeshua. So people using a false name means the Holy Spirit is not leading them. That's such a simple thing because you don't have to go deep to study to find out what his name is. But people will still do it because they're not standing firm in the truth. Then stand firm, having girded your loins about with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Psalm 119, 172, all your commandments are righteousness. So your breastplate, the thing that covers your soul, is the commandments of Yahweh. And defend your feet with the preparation of the good news of peace. We just talked about that, right? Our responsibility, the seed of Yahweh. The seed is the word. So that's what we have to do. We have to constantly be putting out these seeds. Above all, take the shield of faith, simply belief in Yahweh. But that's our shield. Because what happens? When Satan keeps bringing these things that are trying to make you doubt, the shield is blocking them. So if you have that shield, you'll never even think about it. And you know what? I've said this many, many times. I don't know everything. There's a lot more I don't know than I know. But you know what? I want to focus on what I know, what I don't know. Because if I focus on what I don't know, I'm going to start getting doubt. And where does that lead me to? I have never seen anyone in the congregation that starts with a spirit of doubt that stays. They all leave, and once they leave, well, their life becomes twice the hell it was before, like the Bible says. You have to have that shield. You have to block it. And if somebody wants to come with these weird, I don't listen, block it out. Tell them you don't want to hear it. Because Satan is a trickster, and his ministers, and it's not only physical ministers, but it's people that are following his way, or his ministers. Ministers just means servants. So if people are not following Yahweh's judicial order and they're out on their own and they're doing their own thing, stay away from them because they're the very people that Satan is going to use to get you. They're the people he's going to use to get you. And you have to block that with the shield of faith. Your faith in Yahweh should show you anything that's not a faith. Get behind me, Satan. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the evil one. You have to have a shield or those darts are going to hit you. Also, put on the helmet of salvation, right? Yeshua is salvation. He is the head of the body. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh. So isn't it pretty interesting that every single thing in the armor of Yahweh is defensive? They're all defensive measures, right? Having a shield, having a helmet for getting hit. There's only one offensive thing here, and that's the sword. Swords can be defensive, but a sword is pretty much offensive. So the only offensive weapon we have against Satan is the word of Yahweh. That's the way we beat him. When Yeshua created Satan, right? Or he created Lucifer, the angel of light, Hillel is the Hebrew name, right? He created him. So he has power over him. And here it is that this evil beast, Satan, has the nerve to come to Yeshua while he's a human being, while he put his divinity to the side. Now he's just dirt like we are, right? And he has the nerve to try to tempt him. I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world if you bow down and worship me. Yeshua, with one breath of his mouth, could have quenched Satan and got rid of him. But did he know? No, even as a human being, he didn't allow it to come in. What did he use? He used the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh. That's what he used. That's our offensive power. He cut off his head and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of the mouth of Yahweh. He said to him, you shall worship Yahweh and him alone. Every single word that came out of Yeshua's mouth to Satan was only the word of Yahweh. He wasn't having a conversation with him, because you don't have conversations with the devil. He used the sword of the Spirit, the word of Yahweh. And this is why this word is powerful. This is our sword. This is our only offensive means. And we have to stop letting our human nature, our corrupted human nature, fight for us. You know, remember in Exodus, stand still and let Yahweh fight for you. Because if you're fighting for yourself, you're going to lose. And you know what? If you don't let Yahweh fight your battles and you fight yourself with the devil, he'll let you lose. Because Yahweh's not going to get involved if you're not asking him to. You have to let him get involved by his word. Go to the word. That's the way you'll defeat Satan. And that's the way that Yeshua defeated Satan. And that's the example that he gave us. Right? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh. This is how you fight the devil. The sword of Yahweh, which we fight with, is his word. The whole armor is connected to the word. Keeping the word is our breastplate, right? Keeping the commandments. Our faith will shield us not even to listen to the devil's lies for a second. The helmet of salvation is Yeshua. He is the head of the body, having the mind of Messiah, right? That's what that helmet is. The Ruach leads us into all truth. The word of Yahweh is our sword. It's our only offensive weapon in which we fight just like Yeshua did with the word. Let Yahweh fight your battles. Matthew 4 and verse 4. But answering, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. And while aren't we blessed that we have every word? We don't have books missing. We don't have chapters in Matthew missing. We don't have chapters in Deuteronomy missing. Yahweh has preserved this whole beautiful, wonderful book of his word for us. Hebrews 4. And like I said, every word written in the Bible is a piece of Yahweh's living character. It's a piece of Yahweh's living character. So anyone who's doing away with any of it, they're trying to do away with the very character of Yahweh. And that's why he says, anybody who even removes a word will have his name removed from the book of life. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of Yahweh is living and powerfully working and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of both soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow and bones, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Right? Wow. So this is our offensive weapon. And you know what? We got to use it on ourselves. We got to use it on ourselves, because the word of Yahweh is a sword that cuts to our own heart. Right? And if you're reading that word every day and it's not cutting to your heart how you have to change in your life, then it's just words on paper. Right? That's all it is words on paper, if that's the case. The word of Yahweh should cut to our heart and bring us to a spirit of repentance, of joy, of faith, because it's living. This word is living. And it's always been living, right? Because Yahweh is only life. But now in the end time, as prophecy is all coming to pass, as all these things are happening, as sad as it is in part of it, in another way, it's exciting because the word of Yahweh is coming about. That we know, all right, there's going to be a short period, a few years here of bad times, but the kingdom of Yahweh is right around the corner. And in that kingdom, there will be no more suffering. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. And why do we know it? Because the word says it. And that's what we believe in faith, that Yahweh said it. John 12 and verse 44. It says, but Yeshua cried out and said, the one believing into me does not believe into me, but into the one sending me. And the one seeing me sees the one who sent me. I have come as a light to the world, that everyone who believes into me may not remain in the darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come that I might judge the world, but that I might save the world. So who is going to judge? The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has that judging him. The word which I spoke, that will judge him in the last day. So it's even these words that will be the judgment of people. For I did not speak for myself, but he who sent me the Father, he has given me command what I should say and what I should speak, right? The same as we've been given command by the word, what we should say and what we should speak. Not our own words, but the words of Yahweh. And I know that his commandments, his words, are eternal life. And it's pretty interesting that sometimes the Ten Commandments are listed as the 10 words. Devarim, the 10 words, because they're the words of life. I know that his commandments, his words, are eternal life. Then what things I speak, as the Father has said to me, so I speak. So, wow. His words are life, and we will be judged by them. Not even Yeshua is judging us, but the words of the book are judging us, and we read them every day, and we have to make it part of us. The same way it is literally, it is Yahweh's character, it's Yeshua's character. Yeshua came as a human being, is personified as the word of Yahweh. He didn't exist before in that form of a human being. He existed in the form of Elohim, but he put that to the side and he came in a human body so that we could be he could be the example to us on what we need to be. 1 Peter 2 in verse 22 says, having purified your souls and the obedience of the truth through the Spirit to sincere brotherly love, love one another fervently out of a pure heart, being regenerated not by corruptible seed, right? And the seed is the word of Yahweh. So we're not being regenerated by corruptible seed. That's not the word of Yahweh, but incorruptible through the living word of Yahweh, which abides forever. That's where our doctrine comes from, the living word of Yahweh. That's the seed. Because all flesh is as grass, and the glory of men is the flower of grass. The grass was dried, and its flower fell out. But the word of Yahweh remains forever. And this is the very word that was announced to you. Right? Why did he speak in parables? Ask anybody on the street and they'll say, oh, Yeshua spoke in parables to make it easier for people to understand. No, he spoke in parables so that they wouldn't understand. But for the people that Yahweh is calling, for the ones who are repenting of their sins and believing in the shed blood of Yeshua for forgiveness of those sins, Yahweh is instilling his Holy Spirit in them through baptism and the laying on of hands. And now we have this book open to us. And like I said, there's billions upon billions who have read this book, but how many have understood it? How many have understood it? Because it is the book of life. Our commission is to bring these words to others. The word lasts forever. It's eternal. It always existed with the Father. So how can Yeshua be a created being? That would mean the word is created. That his word wasn't always there. His word is not eternal. Of course not. Of course not. Is the word of Yahweh created? No. The same as Yeshua is not a created being, the word of Yahweh is not created. It just is because it's his character, who he is. 2 John, two more scriptures and we'll be finished. 2 John 1 and verse 9. 2 John 1 and verse 9. Because I just want to show how important doctrine is. Because doctrine is the word of Yahweh. It's not just something that man thinks up or something, a rule that somebody makes. But the doctrine is the very word of Yahweh. And that's why, unfortunately, we have to shun people that turn away from the doctrine. Because what they're doing is they're turning away from the word of Yahweh. They're turning away from Yeshua. They're turning to another doctrine. And that's the reason why Yahweh says shun these people. Because there's no light in them. Because they're shunning Yahweh and Yeshua. Because Yeshua said, the words I speak are from my Father, right? So if they're shunning those words, then unfortunately we need to shun them. 2 John, it's only one chapter there, verse 9. He says, everyone transgressing and not abiding in the doctrine of Messiah, right? The word of Yeshua, Elohim is not in him. The one abiding in the doctrine of Messiah, this one has the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bear this doctrine, do not receive him in the house and do not speak a greeting to him. For the one speaking a greeting shares in his evil deeds, right? And I hope you can understand that more. Because Satan is very, very, Satan plays on your emotions, right? And you'll have brethren that were false brethren. And like it says in 1 John, they left us because they're not part of us. If they were part of us, they'd still be with us. That's pretty simple. And it's profound. That's one of the most profound scriptures to me. Because why would you ever leave? You don't leave your family. You never leave your family. But if someone does leave, it's because they don't believe the word. Because they're rebellious and they're stubborn and they're following in the same footsteps as Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. They're rejecting faith in Yahweh and they're putting faith in themselves. It's that simple. And it's being run by pride. But that's why doctrine is very important, because the doctrine is the very word of Yeshua. And what are we left without the doctrine? We're left without the word. You know, he put those doctrines in. There's no man-made doctrines in Yeshua's congregation. They're the words from Yahweh. Last scripture is 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All 49 books, 22 in the Tanakh, 27 in the Brit Hadashah. All scripture is written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of Yahweh may be perfected and complete for every good work. The full armor is through the word. The full armor is through the word. All scripture is written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so the man of Yahweh may be perfected and complete in every good work. So the word of Yahweh is a living word. And I hope we can see why doctrine is so important, because the doctrine is the foundation of belief. And like I said, the Holy Spirit opens us to the truth, and the truth is what sets us free, and the truth is the doctrine. And if you don't have the doctrine, like something simple as the Holy Spirit, how do you receive the Holy Spirit? Through baptism and laying on of hands. And there's Pentecostals that still want to believe it. 8 years old, they receive the Holy Spirit at some kind of meeting by falling on the floor and barking like a dog. Right? Word of Yahweh doesn't say it. It's a lie. It's a lie. But Satan will work through people through emotionalism and through these different things. And that's not. We can see why doctrine is important, because it is the word of Yahweh. It's what Yeshua is. He is that living word. The living word. And we can see, as his disciples, we need to live our lives as the living word did, as Yeshua did, and live according to his example. Yahweh's word is powerful and living, and Yeshua is that word. He's like I said, the exact representation of the Father, because the word is Yahweh's character. By his command, the world was created, and by his breath, man came into being. His word is living and powerful and has all life in it. Yeshua is the living word, and he and his word are living in every believer. So like it says, you know, the Spirit of Yahweh testifies against itself that we are children of Yahweh. And I said this before, I'll be going to a feast. I get in an airplane with 250 people, and I could tell that one brother or sister that I've never met in my life. I know it because my spirit testifies to their spirit. And I would say, you wouldn't happen to be going to, you know, to wherever, Arizona, are you? Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're going to the feast. You know it. The spirit testifies against itself that we are the children of Yahweh. And his word are living in each and every believer. We need to surrender to him and his word instead of our corrupted human nature. And then through obedience and surrender to his word, we can be one with Yahweh and Yeshua, the same way that Yeshua is one with Yahweh. We must cherish and read his word every single day, every second that we can, and realize it is our sword of defense against the evil one. The Bible is an amazing book with knowledge, with secrets, with codes, right? Truly, it is the instruction manual for mankind, put together by Yahweh, book by book, word by word, letter by letter, to train us to become like him. Never neglect such a wonderful gift from our loving Father. So I pray you've been blessed by this series. And I can tell you one thing, Yahweh willing, this will not be the last time that we'll talk about the word of Yahweh. But for today, the word of Yahweh, the word of life, Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.